After the Meraglim return and give their report about what they saw in the land of Israel, they are now ready to give their bottom line recommendation. And in Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, they tell the people, Lo nuchal alos el ha'am, we cannot do this, ki chazak hu mimenu, because they're just too strong, mimenu. The simple understanding of mimenu is, they're too strong for us, for the Jewish people. However, Rashi quotes from Chazal and Gemara Sota that mimenu actually refers shockingly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that they are too strong, mimenu, for him, that these nations are too strong, Hashem will not be able to help us, there are limits to what Hashem can do, he will not be able to defeat these people. This is a shocking escalation if we understand the pasuk the way Chazal did, and it really raises two very powerful questions. Number one is, why did the people listen to this? They had experienced with their own eyes such incredible miracles, even before they left Egypt, while they were leaving Egypt, and especially more recently in the desert itself. The cloud, the Anan, the Amud Esh, the Be'er for their water, the Mun for their food, their clothing miraculously stayed in good condition in the desert, even grew with them according to Chazal. As the saying goes, who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes? They saw with their own eyes what Hashem could do. Why would you believe the Meraglim to say all of a sudden Hashem can't do this? He could split the sea, he could defeat the Egyptians, but he can't defeat the seven nations of Canaan. And secondly, almost as surprising, is that Kalev, in his response, never mentions this substantive rebuttal, as we just said. Rather, all he says is, Alona lev yarashnu osa ki yachol nuchala. We can do it. Why didn't Kalev respond the way we would have? And say, what are you talking about? Hashem did all these other miracles which we just saw and we just experienced recently. How could you believe such a thing? And why would Kalev not make that very argument? In a remarkable sicha, the Lubavitcher Rebbe addresses these questions and puts it in the context of a much more profound insight into life, and takes a step backward and even raises a more basic question about the Parsha of the Meraglim, which is, about the Meraglim themselves. Before we can ask why the Jewish people listened to the Meraglim, why did the Meraglim do it? These were the princes of the nation, tzaddikim, prominent leaders. Why would all of a sudden they have been confused? Why would they have been tempted to think, we can't do this, Hashem can't do it, we don't want to go into Israel, we want to stay in the desert or go back to Egypt? How could that have happened? And the Rebbe quotes from earlier Hasidic sources that fascinatingly interpret that the Meraglim didn't want to go into the land of Israel because they, in a certain sense, preferred the experience and the existence in the desert. In the Midbar, everything was miraculous. Everything was lamalam and hateva, that had direct connection with Hashem in a unique way in all of human history. They were living in a purely spiritual bubble, and they knew that that would come to an end if and when they entered into the land of Israel. Then they would be leaving that bubble and going into normal or natural life with work, with war, and they didn't want to go down, as it were, a level. They wanted to stay on their elevated spiritual level in that spiritual bubble. Who would want to leave that in their mind and go to a very earthly existence fighting and farming? Interestingly, the Rebbe suggests that in the Meraglim's direct response to Kalev, when they describe the land as an Eretz Ocheles Yoshveha, a land that eats its people, ask the Rebbe, why did they choose that language? Why not just say, again, it's a hard terrain, the people who are living there are hard and difficult, will be defeated. Why use the term, it will eat its inhabitants? Ocheles Yoshveha. Says the Rebbe, because when it comes to food, the food itself literally becomes one with the person who's eating it. You eat it, you digest it, you ingest it, it becomes part of you. So too, they were worried that if we go into the land will eat us. So to speak, we will become one with the land, just like any being does with the food that it eats. And therefore, we will become one with the land. Namely, we ourselves will become a type of Eretz, will become too artsy, too gashmi, will become too physical, will become physical like the land itself. We'll be changing our essence, and that'll prevent us from reaching the spiritual heights and highs that we had in the Midbar. So this was the taina of the Meraglim. This is where they were coming from. Perhaps motivated by something positive and idealistic, but very, oh, very wrong. Says the Rebbe, you know why they were so wrong? Because the goal of life is to create what the Medrash calls a dira b'tachtonim, to create a home in this lower world for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem is already in the elyonim, in the upper spheres, in the heavens. But to create a world, this world, in the lower world, that is at the same time physical, but can, so to speak, house HaKadosh Baruch Hu, can be a kli, can be elevated, that it's a place that Hashem would want to be, that is the goal of life. And therefore, yes, says the Rebbe, there were a lot more miracles and direct spiritual involvement in the desert. But that was the preseason. That was the preparation for the real work of the Jewish people, for the real work of life, which was only going to start once they entered into the land of Israel. Says the Rebbe, this now answers the questions. Yes, the angels, the Meraglim, of course, were aware of the miracles that had taken place previously and currently in the desert. But those, they said, were Lamala Menateva. That's unique to when we're in the desert. Who's to say that Hashem will do any of these kind of miracles, or even could do miracles, or could help us when we go into the land of Israel, when we're not in our spiritual bubble anymore, but actually have to have an army and fight? In their mind, in other words, it was either all spiritual or all physical. They could not conceive of a world which remained with the laws of nature, and yet could somehow become holy and leave space, as it were, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be involved. And therefore, they couldn't imagine that anywhere other than in the Midbar. And therefore, we also understand Kalev's response. He didn't reference those miracles because Ein Hanami, he agreed with them in a certain sense that they weren't relevant. Rather, he says, we can do it. Namely, we can access HaKadosh Baruch Hu not only in the desert, we can access HaKadosh Baruch Hu even in the world, of Teva, of nature, and physicality. We can make a Dira B'Tachtonim for him. Says the Rebbe, that's the double Lashon that Kalev uses of Alo Na'ale. That is to say, there are two types of Alios. One when you go above nature, like they did in the desert, but one is through nature, like they were being called upon to do in the land of Israel. Says the Rebbe, this second type of aliyah, of miracle, is actually higher in a sense. Because the first type of miracle, lamala min ateva, means Hashem is not limited to teva. But the second one is telling us that Hashem is not limited to lamala min ateva either. He can be either or. He can be above and in nature. He can combine them. That's the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Rebbe concludes beautifully and inspiringly that he says, in everyone's life, there are periods of Midbar and of Eretz Yisrael. There are times where we are directly involved in spiritual pursuits, we're davening, we're doing mitzvos, and then there's our more mundane work life. We have to realize that just like the Jewish people were being taught, even in the Midbar, and even in the Eretz Yisrael part of our lives, the work part of our lives, we can bring a Dira Tachtonim.